Hello, welcome to our first episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and the director of the EOU Lab for Exercise Assessment and Performance, which we call the LEAP. I'm joined by LEAP intern Nathan Marshall. What's up, Nathan?
What's up, Kyle?
Who is a senior at EOU. For Fit to Teach each week, we provide a summary of a research paper that provides insight into some aspect of health and wellness, and we also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for the week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, that healthy habits will accumulate and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So let's get into it. So for this first week, I chose a paper titled Volume of Exercise and Fitness, Non-Response in Sedentary Postmenopausal Women, which I'm only telling you the title of this so that if people want to go back and look this up and find the paper themselves and look at it. So each week, I'll be providing a summary of the article, and then Nathan and I will just go back and forth and discuss the important points that we got out of the paper, what really stuck with us. And then we try and summarize this down into providing you with usable information that you can take with you and try out this week. So this paper, this was a group of researchers from LSU and University of South Carolina. And basically what they did was they were trying to understand our general recommendations for groups of people good enough when you're trying to make sure everybody gets a benefit from physical activity. And so what they did was they basically took sedentary postmenopausal women, and they had three different groups, and they were fairly large groups. And they took these three groups, and one group got less than recommended amount of exercise, which equated to about 75 minutes of walking for the week. The second group got the recommended amount of exercise. And so for those of you that don't know, the recommended amount of exercise, moderate to vigorous physical activity, like going on a walk, would be 150 minutes per week. The third research group got more than what was recommended. So they got the equivalent of about 225 minutes of exercise, which is quite a bit of exercise. It's over 3 hours of exercise for the week. And what separates this study from other studies is most of the time when you look at studies about, well, what's the impact of this much exercise for this group of people, most of the time what you end up with is just getting an average response. And what this study, what I really liked about what this study did was they actually graphed out the response of every single individual in all the groups. And when you rank them from least responsive to most responsive, it creates this really cool looking graph where you can see what percentage of a group didn't respond. And you can see just this full mixture of various responses to people getting the exact same exercise stimulus. And really, I think this is so important because we can read recommendations, we can read ideas for, oh, this new great workout, or this person lost 20 pounds by just doing this, or this person lost 50 pounds by just doing this, or this person. We hear all these different things, and then we can try things, and you can very easily become frustrated if you don't respond in the way that you think you should. I don't know, you read the article, Nathan, what did you get out of it? What questions do you have? What points did you think were important?
So one of the most important points that I got from the article was that those who participated in higher volumes of exercise, it increased the probability that they would respond. So I think this was important to highlight because if you are implementing an exercise program and you may not be seeing the results you want, or there's something you want to change, one easy thing that you can do to maybe start that, or it could just be increasing the volume.
I think this is a really good point. So the paper actually has a sentence in it that's really good, where it basically says an individual can reduce the chances that they are a non-responder by increasing the volume or undertaking a higher volume of exercise. And part of you should say this is, yeah, more exercise is better. And In this instance, it is. In some cases, more exercise is not always better. And there were people, even there were several people in the 75 minutes per week group that responded really positively in this study. So really, it depends on it basically it shows the importance of getting in touch with what are the exercises that I'm doing and how am I responding to these exercises. And if you're not responding in the way that you think you should be, you may need to either change the exercise stimulus or increase the exercise volume. I talk about this paper quite a bit when I give talks about nutrition because I say everyone's started an exercise program with a friend and you're doing the exact same thing. And one person loses 15 pounds and gains 3 pounds of muscle and has never felt better. And you gain 5 pounds, you've never felt more tired, and it's not the right exercise for you. And when that happens, we typically start getting down and saying to ourselves, well, what's wrong with me? I'm doing the exact same thing that this person is doing, but and they're having these great results, and I'm not getting these results. And for me, this information is very liberating because all it's saying is that, okay, you're doing the exact same thing. You're just not genetically a responder or in a position to be a responder at this point in time to this training program. So you need to take a step back and alter the stimulus that you're undertaking, increase or decrease the volume as it may be, but really just keep trying things until you find out what is working for you.
And those attempts that you do before where you may not respond, those aren't wasted attempts.
Of course not. Yeah, that's great. It's a great point.
Those
Yeah.
are, you're still benefiting your body and just
It's a great
moving
point.
and exercise. Even if you're not the highest responder, it's still really healthy. It's good for you. And that's important to note as well.
And I think you make a great point because it's not only did I respond, but you may just be a slow responder. So you may be responding, just not gaining adaptations as quickly as. And the point is we really want to make this point that you not in like this kumbaya, we're all special kind of way, but from a biological standpoint, we are all very unique. And so when we're looking for this frees you from chasing diets and fads and all these different types of things. We're going to start with evidence-based information like a walking program. And you're going to try a walking program, and you could start with 75 minutes. And if it doesn't feel like it's having the effect that you want it to, you can up that all the way up until over 3 hours of walking per week. And eventually you might end up there anyways. And the point is, don't put your own expectations about what your response level is going to be. Just get out there and start doing it.
I remember that initial walking that you did, whatever time, and if you weren't responding, it would still really be beneficial for you.
It's beneficial. Yeah, absolutely. So this week, I guess there's two action items that I would summarize for this week based on this information. One, it just embrace who you are physiologically and be open-minded to this idea that you may not have the same response as what other people have had to specific exercise programs. So increase your awareness around what am I a responder to? Do I really like walking? Do I respond well to that? Does it make me want to run more? Does it make me want to, do I like exercising in the morning? Do I like exercising in the afternoon? Get in touch with where your individual responsiveness and who you are in that sense, because it will relieve a lot of the pressure of expectations that I'm going to start this, it's going to be perfect, I'm going to respond in this way. And you just start focusing on, I'm going to get some movement each day. And then I guess the second thing would be start walking's really good for you. We're going to talk about it more in our next episode next week. Anything else, Nathan?
Hit on the head.
All right. The whole point of these is to keep them pretty brief, to get in and out, talk about something interesting, give you something to think about for the week. And I think we accomplished that. So thanks for listening to Fit to Teach, where we provide health and wellness insights for teachers and staff each week. And tune in on Friday. We're going to start a new show called Classroom to Calm, which will hopefully give you all some strategies and talk about interesting information about how to utilize the weekends and take care of yourself. We know the school year is a long grind, and we're here for you. So we'll see you on Friday for that and next Monday for another Fit to Teach. Thank you.
Have a great week.